church in Galatia who were going off the rails, and they were getting caught in what we might term spiritual legalism, and that centered round circumcision. That's looking back in Jewish law in the Old Testament. Legalism is a dead end, and human weakness stands on all that is not in Christ. There's a big difference. We don't really think circumcision would be an issue these days, but we have to recognize that in Galatia, it was a lead-in to living by all that's in the Old Testament and taking on board personally and individually the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't give false testimony. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Now, we're not saying that the Old Testament law is wrong, but if looking back to live under the law of the Old Testament, then we're putting ourselves in the condemned cell in the eyes of God. Legalistic living gets us nowhere. We become guilty and we fail. And guilt is condemned. Nobody is perfect, and by God's law, nobody can get there by keeping it. That's why Jesus came, because he fulfilled the law in his life and he gave himself for us. Paul writes about the desires of the flesh, standing and running on our own humanity, and we become open to all the negatives. Maybe not all of them together, but certainly in terms of immorality, impurity, debauchery, hatred, discord, factions, selfishness, fits of rage, envy, drunkenness. Those are all the weaknesses that come to us. And if we just live by the law, we can become victims of what Paul calls the desire of the flesh. But the coming and the ministry of Jesus makes all the difference. If we set our own standards and run by our own will and actions, we will not only fail, but we will come under the judgment of God. The basic command is love your neighbor as yourself. We can't always do that. And we have to contrast the acts of the flesh with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Message renders one of these verses: when we attempt to live by our own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of Christ and fall out of grace. Let me remind you about faith in Jesus as summed up in one of the great old hymns. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And we come to the cross. And as we believe, we are forgiven every time we come. And we are in receipt of the Holy Spirit. Believer's baptism illustrates this so perfectly, that as you go down into the water, it represents your dying with Christ at the cross, where Jesus bore the penalty for our sin, and rising from the water and stepping out illustrates the rest of life living and walking in Jesus' name with the gift of his Holy Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, says Paul. Let's then think of the fruit of the Spirit. It's more than politeness. As we read through the list that Paul brings, we can say, there's natural human features there. Yes, but they're enhanced by the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings us in faith, whatever our background. The indwelling Spirit is working in us and working through us. And walking in the Spirit, it may be a little bit like trooping the colour. We've all seen the spectacle. I'm not saying that we're all regimented as they're all in step together, but as the music plays and you walk left, right, left, right, you might find all of a sudden that you're out of step. And it doesn't take a lot to shuffle your feet in half a second and get back into step. And that's how it is as we walk in the Spirit in Jesus' name. He will correct us. He provides the music and we walk to his beat. But if we get out of step, we can say sorry. He will forgive us and we're back in step with his people. Confession to the Father and a refilling by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember the old Sunday school chorus, but it says so much about what Paul is saying here. Do you remember, cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Put your power within, Lord. Take me as I am, Lord, and make me all thine own. Keep me day by day, Lord, underneath thy sway, Lord. Make my heart thy palace and thy royal throne. That's walking in the Spirit. And to come back to the message, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure we do just hold it as an idea in our heads. Not just hold it as an idea in our heads, but to work out its implication in the details of our lives. So, there's the work of the cross and the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit grows. It's not all there at once. We, last year, planted a couple of little apple trees. They were about that big. They're now up here, and we've had little apples appearing the size of plums. I'm not sure that we could eat them, but it says next year they'll be bigger, and the time will come when they're fully grown and there will be full fruit on them. And let's just look at the fruit of the Spirit as Paul lists them. First of all, there is love. It's more than emotions. Christian love is also a matter of will. Remember Jesus heading for Jerusalem and the disciples saying, "Hey Lord, what are you going there for? They'll kill you." He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem and that will happen." It wasn't just his love for the world, but his will in his love to make it happen. And then there's joy. It's more than just pleasure and jokes and fun. It's the message that we can be exuberant about life, not needing to force our way in life, and able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. I don't know if you remember the old Sunday school chorus. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart to stay. For there is therefore no condemnation down in my heart. For there is therefore no condemnation down in my heart to stay. Because we're looking to the Lord. He fills us with his Spirit and covers us with his righteousness. Love, joy, peace. It's more than just absence of war. It's more than just peace in the world and indeed peace in the church. It's first of all a peace with God. We are at peace because he loves us. He forgives us. He sees us in Christ. And he directs our energies and helps us to be at peace with one another. And then this forbearance, especially facing troubles and difficulties, the things that we have to endure. And even as Christians, there will be a lot we have to endure. Maybe troubled times. Maybe problems of one sort or another. Maybe illness. Forbearance is that patient facing of troubles. But in the name of Christ, we know that he will strengthen us and lead us and guide us. And there's kindness, goodness of heart, faithfulness, being trustworthy and reliable, having fidelity and being dependable. It isn't just God who is faithful. Through the Holy Spirit, he enables us to be faithful, to walking his way, to living his life. Gentleness, meekness is another word. It's not about just putting ourselves forwards. It's recognizing the gifts that other people have and their self-control. Through the Holy Spirit, these what we might call social graces become spiritual graces. Since then we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. But then Paul has a final sentence, and he says, let us not become conceited and provoking and annoying each other. What a thing to say after he's talked about living and walking in the Spirit, being covered by the love of Christ at the cross, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But we can all go wrong at times, even within that. Let us not become conceited, provoking and annoying each other. It might be a case of flaunting our spirituality, thinking, if not saying, I'm more holy than you are. Look at me. Aren't I good? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And again, that's the way that we need to go. We're given the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to make sure that we are constantly filled with the Spirit, which brings us back to our daily relationship with the Lord and our walk with him. Help me today, Lord, to be your disciple. Give me those fruits of the Spirit that I need. Help me to go that way because it's your way. Are we going to invite the children back in?